Parler remains offline as it continues its court case against Amazon. The self-described free speech social network wants a judge to reverse Amazon Web Services' decision Saturday to stop hosting Parler, a move condemned by conservatives, but which Amazon said was necessary because of violent content on the site. And that follows a flurry of social media bans against President Trump in the wake of last week's storming of the Capitol. And it has added new urgency to a long-simmering question in tech: does deplatforming work? Let's bring in Elizabeth Dwoskin. She's Silicon Valley correspondent for The Washington Post. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Glad you could be here. And in addition to Parler's web hosting issues, Apple and Google have kicked the social network out of their respective app stores. Meanwhile, Twilio, Okta, and other tech companies have also stopped providing services to Parler. And yet Parler CEO John Matzie told Tucker Carlson on Fox News last night that he's not giving up.
We're going to be back online one day, and hopefully soon, and as soon as possible. But this is a real challenge. We have to build our own infrastructure, our own everything, in order to do it.
So, Elizabeth, can he do it, or is this the end of the road for Parler?
Well, I think they'll have a tough time, but if you look at the example of history, other far-right sites that have been deplatformed found a way to come back. I remember I first started covering this issue of deplatforming. It was in the wake of Charlottesville, the Charlottesville neo-Nazi rally, and I remember GoDaddy and PayPal delisted the Daily Stormer. GoDaddy is web hosting, PayPal payment processing. They delisted the Daily Stormer. And then a year later, there was the massacre at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. And when it was found out that the man who committed those crimes was posting frequently on Gab, which another right, free speech, far right, friendly site, Gab was taken down by Microsoft, stopped hosting them. They were also banned by GoDaddy for web hosting and PayPal. But if you look at the example of Gab, Gab was started effectively, says now that it hosts its own servers. It found a GoDaddy alternative in a company called Epic, which EPIK, which has been willing to host a lot of far-right sites. And we just saw the news that Epic also said it's going to host Parler. And Parler also has funding from the Mercer family. So they probably have some money to do their own thing. And they have 12 million users as well. And if there are sites where they can still crowdfund, that's money that they can raise as well.
Sure. And the Mercer family also funded the Breitbart news site, as we know. And just to your point, I want to dig into this issue, Elizabeth, because I think it's really the key one. You mentioned Gab, which is now back online, says it has more visitors than ever before. And I'll just throw out one more. You know, 8chan, that sort of infamous seedy corner of the internet, has just changed its name to 8kun, found a new server, and lives on as an influential platform for conspiracy theories. So, I mean, is there any reason to believe that this time would be different for Parler?
I don't, but I think it's more, so I guess the fundamental question is, do these sites go down because these sites become forums for hate? And then the other question is, you know, after these horrible incidents of violence that, you know, that we've had and hate that we've had in our country in the last several years, there's all this call. There's this big call, as you can see, for lots of companies to say, well, how am I in some way responsible? And, you know, every institution should be asking itself, What did I do anything to contribute to this, kind of polarization and this kind of hate? And, you know, there's always this cycle where people are starting to turn to the internet companies that host this because a lot of this conversation is happening on social media. And I think the sad truth about it is that you can't put Pandora back in the box. There will always be services that agree with the values and ideals, however hateful, of the companies that want to become forums for this kind of speech, and they will host them, and especially for political reasons as well. But I think that as they get smaller, you know, there are greater opportunities for law enforcement to surveil them as well. And they're weaker. I mean, Facebook has a lot of problems, but, you know, Sheryl Sandberg did say yesterday, the CEO of Facebook, she did say that, you know, the specific organizing for this rally did not happen on their service. And in fact, a lot of people did organize for the rally on Facebook, but they weren't saying the most possible vile things that we found on Facebook. So there is this opportunity for, as they go off of the bigger platforms, it's you know, the FBI was able to find evidence of this. I mean, what's mostly sad in what happened last week is not that the evidence wasn't there or even findable. It's that the evidence was ignored leading into this riot. But it's not to say that they're going into the dark corners of the internet and no one can see them. In fact, it's a social media company, and the FBI was watching.
And as you said, some of the planning was sort of out in the open, not only on these sort of fringe websites, but also mainstream ones like Facebook as well. That's Elizabeth Dwoskin, Silicon Valley correspondent for The Washington Post. Elizabeth, sorry, we have to leave it there. Thank you for your time.
Thanks. No problem.